Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Entrepreneurs unite. It is on our shoulders to rebuild after this disaster is over. And this too shall pass. It will pass. You'll see. All things pass. It seems sometimes like it's never going to end, and we aren't even really to the worst of it yet, but it's going to get better soon, don't worry, because this virus thing, it doesn't do well in high temperatures, and as you know, spring is coming and then summer, so it'll take its course. Don't forget, visit our website, entrepreneur.com on the web. Pick up an issue of Entrepreneur Magazine, newsstands everywhere. I am Alan Taylor, and our first guest up is from Harvard Business School. His name is Stefan Thomke, a leading authority on the management of innovation. He has authored two books, one from the Harvard Business Review Press in 2003 called Experimentation Matters, Unlocking the Potential of New Technologies for Innovation. And the current one that's just out, matter of fact, just recently, Financial Times gave it a big thumbs up, and it's also been reviewed by Wall Street Journal. It's called Experimentation Works, The Surprising Power of Business Experiments, also from Harvard Business Review Press 2020. Stefan, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Alan.
Let me ask you, with the current situation in the world, with what I think is an economic disaster on our hands because of all the lockdowns that we're being put under, maybe you could just give me your thoughts on it. You have to be watching this unfolding, as we all are. I'm so tired of watching the news. It's all so bleak and ugly out there. I mean, it's hard to actually live a normal life, but give us your thoughts on, you know, recovering from this and where your book, Experimentation Works, could have helped maybe.
Well, first of all, Alan, you know, I remember, and you may remember probably it as well, 2008, you know, when we were also facing dire sort of conditions when we were looking at financial markets. And the companies that really came out of that, the companies that were ready, you know, to take advantage of the pickup when it was over, were the companies that, you know, didn't sort of push on the brakes, but it's the companies that pushed on the accelerator. They doubled down on innovation. They doubled down on R&D, and they kept on developing new products. And when things picked up, they were ready. You know, they had products when people were asking for products. And so my advice is, yes, you know, these are tough times. And, you know, I'm watching this as well. I'm watching my own retirement portfolio kind of melting away. But at the same time, I know that things are going to get better on the other side. And we want to be ready for that. And so part of what the book is about is, you know, sort of to prepare for these kinds of things. And it also sort of describes what you should do in times of great uncertainty. And the big takeaway is to test early and often. And I just wish that some of our political leaders had taken that advice many weeks ago.
Yeah. It's interesting you talked about, being fearful. Warren Buffett recently said, be fearful when people are greedy and be greedy when people are fearful. In other words, he just bought, I don't know, $45 million worth of Delta Airlines shares, which I happen to be a Delta Platinum flyer. I get it. Fantastic airline. It's down right now with the rest of the crashing stock market, but it's going to come swooping back up when this virus gets under control and people go, oh, it's just another one of those things that we went through. This one, obviously, a little wilder than the average thing that is happening in our world today. This one, is a big wake-up call for a lot of people for how they live their lives. Your thoughts?
For sure. And I'm an optimist as well. And I understand that we'll get through this. But I think we should also learn the lessons from this. And again, my book, Experimentation Works, is about the power of experiments, the power of testing. And And as you get out of this, you know, we should remember that, you know, there's going to be another crisis like this at some point, whether it's 5 or 10 or 20 years from now. We should make sure that we're better prepared the next time around.
I agree.
And part of that is, you know, this is why I wrote the book. So the book in some ways is also a tremendous, I mean, opportunity, because, you know, the way we make decisions is fundamentally changing in organizations. But at the same time, and this is almost kind of a, you know, a timing issue here, is that it also teaches us some basic lessons about this.
All right. Well, let me talk about those lessons on the other side. Stefan Thomke, he's going to talk a little bit here about why an organization's ability to innovate depends on constantly experimenting and testing. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Well, you're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks for joining us. We need the Harvard Business School professor, Stefan Thomke, to talk to us a little bit about, you know, how we're going to recover from all this and what lessons can we learn from all this, because it's going to be over. You snap your finger two or three times and we'll be talking about the coronavirus toilet paper shortage of 2020. Yes, people are going to die. I mean, listen, people die from the common cold every day, 20, 30,000 a year. But for some reason, this one has gone nutty. And again, back with Stefan Thomke. The book, Experimentation Works, and I ask you, what lessons can we learn from all this?
You know, the current coronavirus crisis and innovation have one thing in common, and that is uncertainty. That's the fundamental problem here. And so how do we deal with uncertainty? And, of course, the advice that I'm giving people is you experiment. That's how you resolve it. You know, decision-making uncertainty is a very uncomfortable thing to do.
Right.
And what we naturally fall back is, you know, when we face uncertainty, we'll fall back to experience, intuition, and so forth. The problem with experience and intuition and all the kinds of things that we rely on is that they will mislead us. In fact, it turns out that in online experiments, and I've talked to a lot of companies, collect a lot of data on this, turns out that we're wrong about 8 or 9 out of 10 times. And so, and this, even the experts are wrong most of the time when they try to predict consumer behavior. So when we're wrong most of the times, what do we do? Well, we need to test. We need to experiment. And that's where the opportunity is, Alan. And that is, there are companies, many companies out there that are actually running these experiments. They run them at scale. And they let the experiment tell you what works and what doesn't work. And they do it at a very rapid rate.
What kind of companies? I mean, it just seems like, you know, I guess smaller companies are afraid of experimenting. They want the tried and true. But it seems like really the big companies, the best companies, do experiment. They're not afraid to think outside the box, as they used to say.
Not at all, Alan. In fact, some of the biggest experimenters are the companies that you and I use every day. You know, it's the, you know, Amazon, Microsoft, Netflix, Booking.com, Facebook, all these companies, these big platforms, they run tens of thousands of experiments each year. That is, if you use their platforms, you are part of their experimentation ecosystem. And they use these experiments to decide what works and what doesn't work. And they do it both in their products. They do it on their web pages. They do it everywhere. Mm. And so this is kind of like a superpower in business now.
Let me ask you, what separates a great business experiment from, dare I say, a sloppy one?
Well, there's a number of things that sort of, you know, separate sort of a good experiment from a poor one. First of all, it needs to have a good hypothesis. You know, just like in the scientific method, you know, and what is a good or a strong hypothesis? First of all, a strong hypothesis comes from qualitative research. It comes from customer insights. comes from observations and so on. It's not just having a hunch or, you know, something that comes, you know, to mind, you know, under the shower in the morning. So it's got to be based on some
that's my, you know, kind, some observation. That's my kind. But anyway, go ahead. Small business.
Well, I'm sure you've got,
you know, I was in the shower and I had this great idea. I could hear it all coming out of my mouth. Go ahead.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, in a good hypothesis, you want to identify possible cause and effect. It's got to be measurable, quantifiable metrics and so forth. I'll give you an example, Alan. You know, Kohl's, the big sort of, you know, sort of department store, someone told them that, listen, Kohl's, you can save a lot of money if you open your stores an hour later. Okay, and you can easily do the numbers, very easy to do. But of course, the big question that they face then is, what's going to happen to revenue? You know, is revenue going to drop? Is revenue going to increase? I mean, what's going to happen?
All right, hold it. I'm going to do a cliffhanger. We're going to find out what happens on the other side. What happens with Kohl's? Did they open an hour later? Did it cost them a lot of money? We're talking with Stefan Thomke. He is a Harvard Business School professor and author of Experimentation Works, Just Out. We'll be right back. It's Entrepreneur Weekly.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Classes in Harvard Business School at Entrepreneur Weekly Radio Show. Stefan Thomke joining us. And by the way, Mr. Thomke has taught in and chaired numerous executive education programs, both at Harvard Business School and in companies around the world. And he's a speaker and advisor to global businesses and business leaders. And he's helping us out right now. Okay, so cliffhanger, did Kohl's do the experiment and what happened?
Exactly, Alan. So they ran the experiments because the experiment was the only way to find out. And the reason why it was a good experiment is that they had a clear hypothesis. And the hypothesis was, opening our stores 1 hour later has no impact on daily sales revenue. That was the hypothesis. And they ran it. And by the way, people within Kohl's had different opinions on this. They weren't sure. Again, the only way to find out is to run the experiment. They ran the experiment and they found that it had a negligible impact on revenue. By the way, so that's an example of a good hypothesis. A bad or a weak hypothesis would be we can extend our brand up market. You know, it's not really measurable. It's something you can discuss, but it doesn't really lend itself on an experiment.
Right.
So a hypothesis, a good hypothesis, is the beginning of a good experiment. Mm.
All right. Now let's talk about why culture, not technology, is the biggest barrier to becoming an experimentation organization, because you talk about this a little bit. Why culture?
Well, I found that, you know, when companies invest in technology, invest in tools, platforms, you know, which are available today, and they're trying to scale things up, when they're trying to run more and more experiments, they're finding that culture really gets in the way. And I've identified a number of different elements that they need to pay attention to when they're trying to create an experimentation culture. First of all, they need to cultivate curiosity. You know, when people see failures not as costly mistakes but as opportunities for learning, that's when experimentation starts kicking in. They need to insist that data trumps opinions. Now, this is really hard, Alan, because we tend to happily accept good results that confirm our biases, of course, but then we challenge and we investigate bad results that go against our assumptions, right? So these are just two elements that are really important. And then, we also have to embrace a very different leadership models. Leaders have to play a very different role in organizations that test a lot, that experiment a lot, than what they play today.
Data trumps opinions. Show me the data. Show me the money is what they basically mean. Well, all right. It's very interesting. I'd love for you to take a few minutes here to talk to people, small businesses, because they're all being affected around the country right now. Small businesses, I think, more than any, because as we have, I think, 78% of people in the world, at least in the U.S., live paycheck to paycheck. And small business also lives paycheck to paycheck a lot of times. And the small business paycheck pays the employees, and it's a domino effect. So what can we do in these uncertain times, leaving for a moment the experimentation thing aside, but what can we do to help combat what's going on in the world today, small business?
I think one of the first things, Alan, that, and I know it's easy for me to say, right, you know, because I'm not running a small business right now, but I think what we ought to do is we ought to embrace this uncertainty that we face as also times of opportunity.
Yeah.
We see this all the time in innovation. You know, innovation is also something that's sometimes unnatural. It creates great uncertainty. And our knee-jerk reaction is to eliminate the uncertainty, try to move away from it. But we've seen that over and over again in the past when you kind of study history, and you can go back 100 years, that whenever, you know, we faced these dire conditions, these were also amazing times for innovators.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone moving in, because uncertainty creates opportunity, and somebody can move into that space and take advantage of that opportunity and create value along the way. And so one thing to do is, of course, is you got to be careful. You still got to, you know, pay the bills, so to speak. But at the same time, you also ought to think about these opportunities. You know, you got to think, you know, I mean, if you're, for example, a company right now that's, you know, developing products, online products, maybe improving the online shopping experiences.
Right.
Well, as people are sitting at home right now and they're going to do all their shopping online,
right,
I think a lot of businesses are recognizing maybe we got to have better online capabilities.
Yeah.
And,
no, I agree. I think the
behavior is changing.
Service industry is going to be affected in a dramatic way where people can't, you know, leave their normal environment because they're afraid to go out into the world. So they're stuck at home. That means those services are going to be stalled in some way. I've already experienced it, like immediately it started happening. But you're right. The boom time is for the online industry. It's going to be a boom because people are going to start buying more and more and more online. Is your online, you know, business model up to snuff? A good time to work on it. You know what? And sell some of those things you don't need. Extra car hanging around, classic car, extra boat, RV, things maybe you don't need, and use that asset to pay for this tough time. That's what I'm giving advice to my friends. You got it. It's there. This is going to be a short time, but it's going to be tough for a short time. Stephen Tomke, the book is Experimentation Works. And you can find it if you go, just Google Experimentation Works, but Harvard Business Review Press. And Stephen, thank you for the advice. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Alan.
All right. We're going to keep on going. This is Entrepreneur Weekly.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
So you guys probably know that I, yes, am an entrepreneur. I'm running about three businesses at any given time. I am the guardian for both my elderly parents. I have four children and two grandchildren. I am a serial entrepreneur, and I do this radio show, amongst others. And I used to do a fantastic show with my friend Scott Duffy called Business and Burgers. And we were going to have to really get that going again. But my friend Scott Duffy, for those who do not know him, is a best-selling author. His book Breakthrough from Entrepreneur Press is on newsstands everywhere. You can find him at scottduffy.com. He's worked with the likes of, yes, me, other greats like myself, Tony Robbins and Richard Branson. And he is going to give some advice today in the wake of all this coronavirus stuff and, dare I say, a kind of instant recession. Boom, here it is. In these uncertain times, we're going to give some real, I think, dare I say, basic Sesame Street basic stuff you can do to kind of help combat some of what's going on in our crazy world around us. So I'm not sure whether he's Cookie Monster Or is he Oscar? I mean, Scott Duffy the Grouch, but he's my friend here. He is Scott Duffy. Hi, Scott.
I'm not even sure what to say about all that.
No, you know what it is? People need this. Sometimes we got to start out with the basics, though, you know? So I don't know. I want to keep it as light, and then you can delve deep because you have, you know, Tony Robbins, Richard Branson, Alan Taylor. But you've worked with the big, the greats. But it's like well, you know, sometimes you got to start with the basics. Go ahead.
I agree with you. I was just going to say that, you know, I think that right now having a little bit of lightness and a little bit of levity goes a long way.
It does. Seriously.
Because people in many cases, a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of small business owners, they're scared.
Yeah.
And they feel uncertain. And they're glued to their TVs watching CNBC and Fox News and CNN or whatever it is they watch. They're glued to their favorite news website. And they're asking themselves two questions. What does all this mean? And what do I do? And in light of the information that we get changing, gosh, what seems like every hour, it's a hard place to be as an entrepreneur. And so, yeah, a little bit of levity goes a long way.
You know, and it's true that it is happening daily and hourly. I was blown away Friday the 13th. It was like a severe drop in the stock market. And it was, when I heard, I thought one of my friends was joking. I was like, nuh-uh, 3,000 points, nuh-uh. And he starts laughing. He goes, where are you? You have your head in the sand. I go, no, I watch the news all the time. But it's like, boom, it happens so fast these days. And then it recovers a little bit and then it falls off again. So I think it comes back to that poem, Rudyard Kipling from 1908. If you can keep your head about you when all else are losing theirs and blaming it on you. And at the end, he says, then you'll be a man, my son. But that was so important. We've got to keep our heads about us, right, Scott?
Well, we do. Because what's really easy to have happen right now is to run a program in our head that takes us down a rabbit hole, that leads us to feeling lost, alone, depressed. You know, I run a Facebook group right now, and it's called What Now? And it's a guide for entrepreneurs to deal with coronavirus, with recession, and with uncertain times. And I take a look, you know, I got thousands of email messages over the weekend, and I got tons of messages over the last 2 days that we've done this group from entrepreneurs. And what happens is you start to see trends. And there's two things that the majority of people are asking. The first is they bring up questions around depression. What do I do? I'm scared. I feel alone. There's only so much I want to tell my investors or my family or my friends, and they're running these negative loops. So I think really controlling the dialogue is something that is going to be more important than ever for us. And it's really being able to do that is like building a muscle. And just the metaphor I use real quickly is this. It's that our brains are like Google. Whatever question we put into Google, it will give us a response. So if I'm having a difficult time during the day and I ask myself, oh my gosh, what is this mean to me? You know, does this mean I'm going out of business? Why aren't my customers paying me? Why? And I take myself down and I focus on all of those types of things. What happens is your Google-like brain gives you an answer. It's like if I ask myself the question after I lose a deal, why do I suck? Google will give me 7 million. I've actually done this. 7 million reasons in less than a second why I suck. And the same is true on the other side. The same is true if you were to start asking yourself questions when you're feeling stuck or tight or even paralyzed at times, like, okay, what can I learn from this? What can I learn from this to improve my product? What can I learn from my customers today in order to figure out what new needs they have today that I can then go and serve to iterate my product, to adapt my product, and basically put myself in a better position to create financial footing for my business. So it's really important that we keep ourselves, we ask ourselves the right questions.
I know.
To put ourselves in those states.
I know. So the question is, while we take a break, you guys, Scott was asking himself, why does he suck? We're going to come back. I'm going to answer that. No, I'm joking. Where do people find this What Now? Is it a Facebook deal? Scott Duffy, What Now?
It is. What Now? Go to Facebook groups, Scott Duffy, What Now, and you'll find it there. And there you go.
Let me tell you, as your friend, you do not suck, all right? That was a hypothetical, unless you're sucking on a straw, but straws are outlawed in California, unless they're paper. And if you suck real hard on a California paper straw, it'll collapse. So don't suck. Just take the lid off and drink out of the cup. Am I going the wrong way? We'll come back and talk business. Scott Duffy, we should not talk like this. This is not business and burgers. No chocolate shakes involved. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. I'm Alan Taylor, part of Entrepreneur Magazine. Pick up our magazine at newsstands everywhere. Check out our website, entrepreneur.com. And if you want to listen to more of this show, you can go to entrepreneur.com, go to podcasts, Entrepreneur Weekly. We do this once a week. Scott Duffy joining me, my friend, and this song is called Best Friend. And Scott is definitely one of my best friends. He's the author of Breakthrough from Entrepreneur Press, scottduffy.com. He's also got, if you go to groups on Facebook, you can find Scott Duffy, What Now? And Scott, a lot of people need help right now. Where to start? That is the question. Where do we start?
Well, the biggest mistake that entrepreneurs and small business owners make when a market corrects or a market changes is they wait. They wait for a number of different reasons. Number one, they hope that things will turn around, and they'll turn around quickly, but hope, you know, that's really not a strategy. Or they're stuck and they feel paralyzed because there's so much uncertainty. They're just not sure what it is that they should do. And so, you know, or there's fear around, you know, what this could mean for my business, for my employees, for my this and my that and my and the other. And a few years ago, Jack Welch got to speak to a group of incredible entrepreneurs and a full room. And Jack, maybe the most iconic CEO, the most iconic manager of the last 100 years, Jack used to run GE, said, if I could only give one piece of advice to entrepreneurs, it would be this: panic faster. And that's the number one piece of advice that I have today. It's to panic faster. And when I use the word panic, I don't mean come from a place of fear. What I mean is don't wait. Take the actions that you need to take today to do three things. The first is protect yourself financially. Protect yourself financially. I mean, I used to think that the most important job that I had as an entrepreneur CEO had stuff to do with leadership and training and vision and business planning and things like that. But what I've learned is the number one job of any entrepreneur has nothing to do with business. The number one job is learning how to protect yourself. So if things don't work out as planned, markets change, they go sideways, you're protected, you can stabilize and you can bounce right back. Mm. So that's the first thing. The second thing that we want to do is we want to be able to basically shore up and create a new foundation under our business so that we're able to get through this period and get through it successfully. And finally, the third thing is to set ourselves up for long-term success. So again, the first step is, look, this market is not going to change anytime soon. If you're paying attention to, you know, what's going on, last week was probably what most of us would consider the first week of it really becoming a real thing here in the United States. And if you just do the math of how long it takes for this virus to be in a person's system before they feel the effect, so that's 10 to 14 days, the amount of time that they have this virus once they have it, 10 to 14 days, and then the amount of time that they're actually infectious and can give it to other people, 37 to 40 days. If you take a look at the numbers and reports from everyone from the CIA to national health groups, the peak of this virus is going to impact our country between, about the 10th of May to the 15th, so the middle of May. And so we won't be out the other side until July, August. So this isn't the kind of thing that's going to go away in a day, a week, or a month. This is probably going to take a good 4 to 6 months before things start to normalize. So as an entrepreneur, this is no time to wait. This is a time to make the most decisive decisions that you will probably ever have to make in order to preserve your cash and protect yourself today.
It's an interesting statement you just made. I guess the word panic is not a great word, but obviously when you're in business and you have that OSH moment, if you know what I'm saying, But then the other side of you says, oh, no, it'll be okay. Don't worry. Don't act out of fear, like you said. Sometimes you have to sit down and go, all right, let's educate ourselves. And you just gave, yes, in a very short time, a whole lot of very valuable information. And because I do believe, I was thinking this would be a 30-day kind of a deal. But after hearing you talk, I'm pretty sure you're right. It's going to be 4 months maybe. And it's a little bit scary to think how long can I last paying everybody and doing things as normal, you know? So I'm just hearing you, Scott, is changing my whole outlook, believe it or not.
Well, and you say paying yourself, you know, when you take a look at where business owners spend their money, typically one of the top, you know, one or two line items are to payroll. It's to either their FTEs or full-time employees or to their contractors. And the thing is, during this time, if you forecast out for the next 6 months, and you figure that what we're experiencing today is the new normal for the next 4 to 6 months, how is that going to impact your sales? And then what will that mean to your ability to basically continue to pay all of these people to work for you? And it's a very uncomfortable conversation, you know, to have, because letting go of people is never, you know, that's always a difficult thing to do. But the reality is this: if you are going to have to let go of people, there's only one way to do it, and that is to cut really deep and cut once. Cut one time, make it painful for you as an entrepreneur. Get rid of as much as you can one time and then move on, and here's why. I made the mistake when I was younger. No one taught me. I didn't have a roadmap. I didn't have the right mentors at the time. No one taught me in 2008 when the market shifted to do this, and so I made these small incremental changes. My goal was, it's like I was hoping the market would recover soon, so I let a few people go at a time. And it's a horrible thing to do. And the reason is, once you let that first group go, if it's small, the rest of your company, the rest of your team sees what's going on out there. And so they start to think, well, am I next? And because they're thinking, am I next, they spend all of their time updating their resumes. I'm digging on LinkedIn.
They're
profile,
not working on your business. It's exactly right.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Hold tight. One more segment. Got to take a break.
Okay,
I'm playing I Will Survive.
Sorry.
It's Gloria Gaynor, for goodness sakes. We got to survive here, don't we? You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Scott Duffy will be right back with me. I'm Alan Taylor. Stay with us.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Whether you have a great idea you want to launch or a business you're running that you want to grow, Woman Entrepreneur's powerful Build Like a Woman curriculum of online courses gives you all the tools you need to take your business to the next level. From digital self-paced courses, virtual coaching sessions, and webinars with experts, we power the entire journey, arming women entrepreneurs and leaders with what they need to start, grow, and flourish. Get started today. It's free to start. Enroll now at entrepreneur.com/courses. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/courses.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Best-selling author, Breakthrough, from Entrepreneur Press, Scott Duffy, scottduffy.com, and Mastermind Series, also called Breakthrough. And in the wake of this coronavirus, this instant recession, uncertain times, my buddy Scott, coming through, give us some great advice. And you know, I'm very thankful for this show, because this is kind of the voice of reason in a perilous world when it comes to business, small business, or anybody that's living in this crazy world we're living in. But we're looking to you again, Scott, to give us some advice. What can we do? Where do we start? You've given some great advice. Hopefully you got about 5 or 6 minutes more to take away stuff for us. Give it to me.
So we're just wrapping up talking about if you need to make cuts to your headcount, which is obviously a very sensitive topic for most entrepreneurs, because right, these kinds of decisions are never fun to make. And my advice to you is this: if you do need to make cuts, to cut once and cut really deep. And again, the reason that we do this is, when we make incremental cuts, what happens, we make small cuts, hoping things will get better soon. Everybody else in the company sees what's going on out there, and so they become paralyzed. They start looking at you, wondering if they're next. And instead of working for you, what they do is they go to work for themselves.
Yeah.
And they spend all of their time brushing up their resume, their LinkedIn profile, chatting with their friends, and there's no focus paid to your business. And so, again, the piece of advice here is to cut once, cut deep. And the people that stay with you will be incredibly loyal. They'll be happy to take on more work, and they'll do a great job for you.
Yeah, no, that's
so
really good advice.
That has to do with cuts.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think, you know, next, it's really important to control the narrative in your business. I spoke last Tuesday night, and the people that I spoke to at this conference, they were in session the entire day, and they'd been given a bunch of great news about their business. Nobody was able to take out their phones. When I was finished, I walked over to a table. Everyone walked out of the conference center, and I set up a book signing. What was really interesting was when people came out and got in line, we had about 200 people in line, they started looking at their phones for the first time in the day. And what did they see? They saw the city of San Francisco had canceled all public events. The Golden State Warriors wouldn't allow fans into the arena. That Utah Jazz player was tested positive for coronavirus.
Right.
The NBA was shutting down. The list just went on and on. And the leader wasn't there. And so as a result, the first person who I signed a book for said, "Hey, I'm just seeing this. Have you seen this?" By the time we got to the 200th, they had written a completely different narrative about what all this meant for their company. Were they safe? Were they secure? Would they be going out of business? So as a leader, it's more important than ever to step out in front of this with your team, your employees and your contractors, and craft the narrative for the team. Now, the last thing that you should do is you need to be transparent. People know what's going on. And if you try and hide facts or push things under the rug, you will lose all credibility with this group. And so be really straight. Here's what's going on. This is what it means to our business. This is what we're looking at. And then here's the most magical thing you can do. You've hired great people. Ask them for feedback. Ask them what they're seeing in the market. Because the bigger our company gets and the more responsibility we have, what happens is we spend all of our time, we start focusing on managing. We stop losing that day-to-day connection with our clients and our customers and our vendors. We give that to our team. And so the odds are, by the time you deliver bad news, they've already seen it and heard it and felt it for weeks. Now, those are also the best people. They're in the best position to let you know, hey, here are the new things that we're hearing. Here are the new issues that are coming up. Here are the new products. Here are the new services that our clients need today. And they may be able to help you to adapt faster to serve the market and create better financial footing for you during this period.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff from Scott Duffy, best-selling author of the book Breakthrough from Entrepreneur Press. You can find him at scottduffy.com. If you're on Facebook and you want to join his Facebook page, go to Groups, Scott Duffy, What Now? And we're going to be doing some more together as time goes on. He is a content machine, you guys. He's worked with Tony Robbins, Richard Branson. He did a video series with me. That's, you know, we started working together a couple of years ago now, and he's like a brother to me now. I turn to him when I need good advice, somebody that I trust with sage advice in my life. It's my buddy Scott Duffy. Got a good heart. People love following a man with a good heart. And guess what? Eye of the Tiger. That's why I'm playing Eye of the Tiger. Thank you, Scott.
Awesome to be here, my man.
We got to go get a burger one of these days. Business and burgers, right?
You got it.
I'm Alan Taylor. That's it for this week. Go check out his website. His website, scottduffy.com. D-U-F-F-Y. scottduffy.com. See you next week.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.